Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, family. It's time for us to get into our conversation about grace. And joining us on the line is Pastor Marandure. He's going to be speaking to us about this. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
A very good morning. Thank you so much for welcoming me to the program. And we hope by God's grace we'll definitely be edified as we'll hear things that are important for us from the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. So to start this off, we're going to read from Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, Pastor, many have taken this verse and they've turned it into a license to live a life with no boundaries, no rules, no restrictions, you know, because we're saved by grace, not works. Help us understand what grace is and how it works hand in hand with works.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. It's so true, but so unfortunate that we have people who have taken a license or a green light to do what is wrong, and they are saying they are doing this because of grace and not by works. It's so unfortunate because, you know, the grace of God, it came to us not because we deserved, but it's something that was done unto us as an act of God in trying to save us, not because we really deserved or we were living in a righteous way, but by definition, grace, it simply means we did not deserve what we received. And what we received was salvation in this case. Yes. So Because of that, because of this grace that has given us another lifeline, it doesn't necessarily mean that grace negates or removes what the law demanded. It does not come to overshadow what the requirements of the law, but we have failed. We have been given another chance to do what we were supposed to have done. And because of this grace now, this is Jesus coming to pick us up to finish the race as he is holding our hands to cross the line we were supposed to have crossed.
Hey.
So this is what it is here. It's I did not deserve to finish this race course because I had fallen along the way and was badly hurt. But now this is Jesus coming to say, no, you can't continue sleeping on the ground. He picks us up, puts us on his shoulders, and he runs to finish the race. So the spectators, if they are to be just, they are supposed to say, no, he's finished the race course. But Jesus now saying, no, I didn't finish. He finished, or she finished, and yet I was on his shoulders. So this is what grace is. We must finish.
Yeah.
We cannot avoid the set standards that are there for us to be called the children of God or to inherit eternal life. We still must. But now, being assisted by Jesus, that's what grace is all about. So we're going to receive a crown.
Yeah.
Definitely we did not deserve, because we had failed.
Yeah.
We had failed. We're going to receive eternal life, which we did not deserve, but we fell. So now this is where Ephesians, Paul is saying now, no. It's not because of works.
Yeah.
Because if it was of works, then it means you deserve, because you have worked for this thing. You have sweated for this thing. It's a reward. you deserve, man. Yeah. You put on your energy, your efforts. We can see what you have done for you to cross the line. But in this case, as humanity, there's nothing that we have done besides just to be given a crown of glory for what we have not done, but what Jesus has done on our behalf. So we are going to be in heaven, not because we're prayer warriors.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing like that.
Right.
There's nothing like that. You are not even a prayer warrior. Are you a warrior? Which war are you? Which war are you fighting in? It's not us fighting.
Right.
It's Jesus doing things on our part, but it doesn't mean we must not cross the line. The line we should, which is righteousness, we should. Yes.
Powerful.
That's in a nutshell.
So then where do the works come in then? If we are saved by grace and that works are not important, why then do we focus so much on, you know, having a good character and doing the right thing? What importance does that play in the whole picture and story of grace and salvation?
Now, he says, it's no longer I.
Oh no, Pastor, it seems like we have lost you. Pastor Miranda, can you hear me?
The person you knew that is legal is.
Okay, we lost you for a few seconds there, but I think you're back on now.
Okay, thank you. So Paul is saying here, I am now a new creation. It's no longer I, Paul, who is living, but Christ. So in other words, Paul is saying here, what you see and is good that I'm doing, it's not what I am doing myself, but Christ in me doing what I am doing. So I cannot then boast and say, I did a crusade, I did a week of prayer, I fasted, I participated in the Holy Communion,
yeah.
I was a good tithe,
yeah.
I was returning tithe and offerings, I did this in church. No. Christ in me was being faithful to return tithes and offerings. Christ in me was the one conducting crusades. Christ in me was the one when faced with the temptation to fall into adultery. It was not me who said, no, I have got a wife, I'm married. No. It was Christ in me who helped me to avoid where others could not, because they chose to live by themselves and not with Christ. So the works I will do, yes, I will do these works. It's my hands, it's my feet, it's my mouth, but Christ in me on the steering wheel is the one driving and directing my pathway. So that's where the concept of works are now coming in.
So having said that, then does that what then do we say in a situation where I do end up doing the wrong thing? Does that mean, you know, how do we make that decision? Do we say that Christ is the one who has, you know, made that wrong decision? What happens when I fall into sin? Who did that action?
Now, what Christ does not do is to take away from us the privilege of exercising our choices. We are not robots. We have this gift in us, or rather an exercise at our disposal of choosing what we want at any given minute and second, just like Adam. There was the tree of life. Next to it, there was the tree of knowing what is good and what is bad. And Adam and Eve chose rather the other tree that led unto death. It's a choice in an environment which was holy, in an environment where They were naked but could not see their nakedness because they were covered with the glory of God. So we too may have Christ in us,
right?
But then wake up to silence Christ and then choose to do what we want to do. And God would then not say, no, don't do this, no, don't do this, or stop doing that, or to stop my hands from being lifted up to do what is bad. It's a choice. Lest the devil then say, you see, it's not a fair game, because Christ is helping them and restraining them. They are not free to choose. So we are going to be saved because we chose. We willingly chose to affiliate either to Christ or the devil. Or what the Bible then has to say, that there's a blessing to those who will endure up to the end. There's a blessing for them. So we need to be continuously affiliating and surrendering our beings to Christ. If we choose to do what is wrong, Christ will not stop us. But you know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Darkness and light will not cohabit together.
Powerful. So is it possible then to accept the grace of Jesus Christ, to accept the grace of God, and at the same time to not, exhibit the works, the good works, the good character?
It is impossible. It is impossible. You cannot have Christ in you, and you will not show that Christ is in you. You remember there's a song, I'm not so sure, I'm forgetting who sang the song, when you are in love, it will just show.
Right.
When you are in love, it will just show that someone here is in love with someone here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when Christ is in you, he is not stoppable. He will show his presence, and his presence will be clearly seen by the good works that you will do. But if he is not there, the opposite is very true. We will see also by what you do that Christ is now history in this person. He is no longer existing. Something went wrong. What we are left with is a baptized church member in good and regular standing, but without Christ in them. It will show. So the answer is impossible.
Sure. And that immediately just pokes a hole in the theory or in the belief that because of grace now our actions don't matter anymore. We don't have to even try. But the other thing that happens is when we accept that, our good works are done by Christ living in me, sometimes one might think that that means the Christian life should be easy then, because I don't even have to do anything. The only choice I have to make is to give my life to God, and then after that, everything should be automatic. Jesus will do everything in me and through me and for me, and I don't have to make any decisions. I will no longer be tempted by evil things, because they will immediately become disgusting to me, because they are, they are repulsive to God. So even to me, now I'm immune to temptation. So what would you say to someone with that belief, that once I've given my life to God and accepted his grace and accepted that Jesus is the one who lives in me, that means from here on out, things should be easy?
Okay. That would not be true to such a position. There is no way we can say we are immune to temptation at a point in time. We are all vulnerable, exposed to temptations in the same manner that Jesus, being God, you remember Matthew chapter 4, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil himself. So there is no way we will say we live in a vacuum which is free from any temptation, and all that we need is to accept Jesus and the rest is now an automatic thing. It's impossible. We will still be tempted to leave Christ, will still be tempted to leave Christ. If you are playing for those who are soccer lovers, if you are playing for a very big and a well-known, well-paying football team, it doesn't mean that when you are in the pitch, there will not be opposition team to take away the ball from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Yeah.
The whole idea is for us to keep focused. This is why we must ask for God's grace every morning.
Mm.
Every morning, exactly. We cannot be asking for grace and it's a once off.
Yeah.
It must be every morning when we wake up, we should say, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning.
Mm.
It means there's a fresh renewal of our relationship. There is a vaccine that comes. It doesn't mean the presence of vaccine or against COVID will mean that COVID is no longer there.
Mm.
It's still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what we have is a temporary protection which must be renewed every morning.
Mm.
So that's what it basically means. So the devil, my sister, is very clever. He will sell that idea to us to accept the position of saying, oh, okay, when you accept Christ, it's a once-off deal. Then from there onward, it's now fine. Such that he will make you to relax, not ask for the grace of God every morning, not to read your Bible, not to be prayerful, to be careless. And by so doing, it's his tactic of making sure he will deal with you when you think you are safe and yet you are now vulnerable and clearly you're not safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's powerful. The enemy is alive and well, even after we've accepted the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. We must still recognize that the enemy is still fighting. He is not going down without a fight. And at this point, knowing that he's already defeated, I think at this point, it's just a matter of taking down as many people as he can to go down with him.
That's so true, eh?
Mm.
That's so true.
So what is the purpose of grace? Why did God even offer us his grace?
The purpose of grace, this is God saying, the person that we have created there has fallen.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate the person has used the gift of choice in a wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
However, this person is created in our image. So we created this person not to separate and to part with this person for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
We want this person. And we are not going to create another person,
mm-hmm.
but we want to deal with this person.
Hey.
So grace is a child, okay? It's a child, it's a baby
mm-hmm.
who we have cleaned up in the morning and they go out to play and they are dirty as they were playing in the mud. And then you are not saying, why can't we have another baby? Let's wait for another 9 months and let's deal away with this one. No, it is taking the same baby, clean them up before you bring them to the table to eat dinner in the evening.
Mm.
But they're clean as if they were never dirty.
Mm. Mm.
They smell well as if they were never dirty. But they are back on the table, clean, smelling nice. And as you look into this baby, looks exactly like you, and you're saying, this is exactly who I am. This is the joy.
Mm.
So this is what the grace of God is all about.
Wow.
Washing the sinner, bring them back to where they were supposed to have been had they not sinned.
Mm.
That's what it is all about, my sister. We did not provide the water.
Mm.
We did not provide even the soap or any detergent. We did not even provide even the roll-on, the perfume, whatever, the deodorant.
Mm.
God simply presented everything and brought everything.
Hey.
And he had to put on some new clothes on us.
Mm.
I tell you, And this cloth is putting now, he said, not this cotton, 100% cotton, whatever stuff you're talking about there. Yeah. I'm putting my glory on you.
Oh.
I tell you, there cannot be grace that is better than that. This is why we say we don't deserve it. You see the song, right? It says, amazing grace. Mm. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just amazing. It's not about money. There was no money we have used to purchase this grace.
Mm.
Nothing, just as I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. That's powerful. Now, as we're wrapping up, what does the Bible mean? What are we supposed to understand by that statement that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? What does that mean? And how do we apply that in our own lives?
Okay, so what it basically means is grace is an acknowledgement that someone has failed.
Uh-huh.
And what made someone to fail is because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then grace is coming in to say, but I have more power over sin and the sinner.
Mm.
This is what grace is all about. So grace is more power. So if sin had more power, grace would find no space in a human being's life.
Mm.
So what it basically means is sin is coming from the devil,
mm-hmm.
who was once called Lucifer, who is God's creation. And grace is coming from God himself, the creator.
Mm.
So definitely what comes from God, the creator, is powerful,
mm-hmm.
more than what he has created himself.
Mm.
So grace is just abounding more. What it basically means is when we fall in sin,
mm-hmm.
let us know there is enough grace to clean us up.
Amen.
And to bring us back to God.
Mm.
So never you think because you're fallen in sin, it is over. It's the end of the road. Don't tell yourself, I've met a sister when I was traveling from Botswana into South Africa the other day, and she told me all evil that she had done.
Mm.
And she was on her way to commit more sin, where she would say, I sinned in every aspect of life. One thing I'm meant to do is to smoke. Everything else I've done, Pastor.
Mm.
And I want Jesus to come. And I said, no, Jesus cannot come in this situation. She said, yes, I want Jesus to come because I'm not going anywhere. I want Jesus to come and destroy me.
Sure.
Because I am beyond redemption.
Sure.
And I said, hey, listen, that's what the devil has told you. But have you forgotten John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. God has loved us. His grace is just too much, more than sin itself. So when you fall in sin and you feel like taking away your life or living the worst, like I said, what did I stop now? Let me just continue. After all, no, it's not after all. There is enough bath soap for you in heaven in the blood of Jesus. There is enough bath soap. What a detergent we have in the blood of Jesus, straight from Emmanuel's vein.
Mm.
He is able. No sin is greater than the death of Jesus on the cross and the blood that left his body to clean the sin of the world.
Hey.
So, grace abounds even more than sin does.
Sure. The power in those statements. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. Any final words that you'd like to share with us with regards to grace?
I would want to say, beloved, yes, we cannot make it by our own selves in our own making.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not worry. There is a price that has been paid for us. Grace is still sufficient. It will never run out. No inflation will take over what grace does in our lives.
Mm.
No economy is stronger than the grace of God.
Mm.
Once we have him in his life, in our life,
mm-hmm.
I tell you, it shall be easier for you to witness what God will do through you.
Mm.
And this is just but a foretaste wait when the trumpet would have sounded. You shall realize it was not you alone. Even David had his challenges, but grace found him.
Amen.
Even the worst thing I can imagine, he had challenges, but grace found him. And murderers are also in the kingdom of God through the grace of God. So let's not worry and think about works. It's the devil's initiative to push us to works. And yet there is an easy way, the grace of God and Jesus, the grace giver, to be with us. Oh, may God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Chief of sinners though I be, but Jesus found us.
Hey.
May God bless you.
Amen and amen. Pastor Marandure, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and the powerful words that you've just shared there. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Until we meet again or hear from each other again. May
amen.
The grace of God be with you.
Amen. Amen. Family, I hope that you were blessed by that. I was certainly blessed by that. The power of the grace of God is not something that I can put into words, something I can express in words. And even after that beautiful conversation that we just had, I still feel like there's so much that, you know, I still feel like there's more to understand. There's even more to learn. And yet what we've just uncovered in this short conversation is already so mind-blowing. Wow, God is just beyond amazing.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.